Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, 30th of December. Hope everybody's doing well. It's going to be a bit of a different show today. Bit of a different show because I went on at around 2, or around 1, I guess. And I've been arguing online for the last hour. So I don't have a daily, dispatch to give you. I've got a bunch of news from today. To be honest, it's a little bit of a slow news day, and a lot of the energy is being sucked up, at least in my Twitter feed, by this Candace Owens thing. I guess I'm lucky I have a radio show where I can just talk about this because, man, nothing makes sense on Twitter. Everything is insane on Twitter, folks. And so if you're not playing along on Twitter, I'll try to give you the quick rundown. But essentially last night, I do a Twitter space with Candace Owens talking about this Fort Wachaca conundrum, this saga. And at some point in this, they ask about the fact that I, a month before Charlie Kirk's murder, tweeted out that I'd heard that Charlie Kirk was afraid that if he went against Israel, they would kill him. And they asked me who my source was, and I said, my source has asked me not to say, so I'm not going to say. And I was like, okay, that's fine. Then, like, people were posting that clip, and it was going around online today, people going, you know, Harrison says he never told the FBI, and the FBI has never reached out to me, they've never contacted me, nobody's ever asked me about how I knew that. The thing is, it's not my information. I was reporting what somebody told me. I don't actually know. Well, I do now, but I never did. I mean, they could have gotten in contact with that person. There's also other people that have made exactly the same claim. I'm the only one that made it publicly before the assassination, but I know since the assassination, multiple people have made this claim, including people that were not my source, have made the claim to Candace Owens herself and Max Blumenthal. So there's at least three people who have all made this claim from firsthand knowledge. I'm making it from secondhand knowledge. Regardless, I wake up this morning to a phone call from a journalist buddy who says, hey, there's a guy in D.C., there's an official, you know, that wants to talk to you about the space last night. And I said, all right, have him call me. So they give me a call and they say, hey, you know, I know you had this source and I'm not asking you to give up the source. You know, you want to protect your source and I would never ask you to betray that. But if you have any more information, if your source wants to talk to us, I'd love to hear from him. So I go, okay, great. I'll tell him. Hang up, call my source. Hey, man, this agency just reached out to me. They want to know if you want to talk to them. Turns out my source and the guy, the official, kind of know each other. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'll call him and let him know. So I connect the source. So then I go online and all these people are going, why is Harrison not? Why would he not tell anybody? And I go, hey, guys, here's an update. They reached out to me. They want to talk to my source. I put them in contact with my source. Okay. Again, does this make sense? Does this follow? Is this logical? I don't know. I mean, apparently I'm crazy. Apparently I'm covering things up. Apparently I'm like, and it's weird. Like, this is how it happened, right? People are like, why don't you tell the FBI? I go, hey, here's an update. They contact me, ask me if my source wanted to say anything. So I connected my source. Then people are like, I can't believe you'd give up your source like that. Like, I didn't give up my source. I told my source a phone number to call if they wanted to reach out. And my source said, oh, yeah, I'll reach out. But it's like nothing I do. It's like, oh, why didn't you tell the FBI? I don't know. They never reach out to me. But hey, now I have told somebody. Well, why did you tell somebody? Well, I didn't just tell them who my source was. I put them in contact with my source. Why would you put them in contact? Oh, this is very suspicious. I used to trust you, but now I don't know. And I'm just like, what did I do? What am I doing wrong? Somebody tell me what I'm doing that's giving you the impression that I'm being anything other than perfectly honest about all of this. What do I need to do? Should I live stream my life 24/7? They wouldn't even trust that.
RFK Jr. shocked many when he sat down for a meal with Fox's Sean Hannity. The pair dined at fast food chain Steak and Shake, eating burgers and fries in a bid to highlight the chain's switch to frying their food in beef tallow, which is a healthier alternative to traditionally used seed oils.
I am so excited. After over a year, we have the highest quality private labeled beef tallow out there. You've heard RFK Jr. rave about it, the health effects, how good it is. This sucker is boom heavy. This is high quality. It is very competitively priced, and it funds this whole operation. It is optimal human beef tallow, grass-fed from thealexjonesstore.com. It is night and day compared to all these other fats and all these trans fats and all of the seed oils that are so toxic, especially when you heat them. Not this. It is so good. It is now available, discounted, at thealexjonesstore.com.
Watching the War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Annihilate. All right, welcome back, folks. We do have a packed show for you today. I'm going to be joined in just a few minutes by Patrick Byrne. He's got some breaking news about the war with Venezuela. Then we'll be joined in studio by Elizabeth Lane. She was just on with Alex. She wants to talk about Candace Owens. She wants to kind of defend her, so I'm sure we'll hash out some of this stuff with her at 4 o'clock. And then I'll be joined at 5 o'clock by Ivan Raiklin, who is there, I guess, as we speak, in the hearing with the January 6th pipe bomber. So we'll be getting some updates to the January 6th pipe bomber story. But again, you know, I think I'm being trolled. I think it's the same thing that happened. Remember last, it was a week ago today, that I basically said the same thing, that it's like I'm being gaslit by Candace Owens' audience into thinking I'm gaslighting them. Remember last Tuesday I was going, what am I even supposed to be gas? I don't even know what your claim is, so I don't even know what it is I'm supposed to be gaslighting you about. What is your theory of the case so we can discuss it? And I can't get a theory. I can't get a claim. The claims they do make, they then say, oh, no, we never made that claim. And it's just like, what are we doing here, folks? And it is frustrating because, again, I literally am just completely upfront. Like, I wish I was this conniving, you know, Machiavellian person. I'd probably be wealthier. I'd probably be richer. I'd probably have more stuff. I'm just not that. Like, I got no special attributes. All I can do is literally just tell you what I think is going on and tell you what I think the truth is and bring you information as it comes to me. And that's all I do. Okay. Yeah, this is it. So, again, people are like, oh my God, why would you not tell the government who your source is? It's like, well, they never asked. I don't know. I'm not going to. How do you even call the FBI? I don't even know what that means. I mean, I made the tweet. It was public. It's been public the whole time. I've done interviews about it. It's been like an international news story. If the FBI ever wanted to reach out, they've got my number. They never did. That's my fault, apparently. That makes me suspicious. I should have called the FBI and said, hey, FBI, I know you're working this Charlie Kirk case. Well, I heard months ago from a friend that he heard that it's just like, I guess I could do that. I mean, at the time, I talked to my source and was like, so are you gonna talk about it? And they're like, yeah, maybe. I'm trying to mind. And the whole thing is, from the beginning, let me explain exactly how this went down, all right? 100%. I'm just telling you the truth. Look into it all you want. I don't know. Again, it's not even like I'm, I guess I am mad. No, I guess I am just mad that I'm being accused of being fake when it's just like, what do I have to do? I don't know. It's not fun being perfectly honest and forthright and having a bunch of people being like, you're exposed, shill. And it's just like, am I not just being completely honest about it, literally everything? So Diligent Denizen, last night, Harris Smith disclosed the FBI has not reached out to him despite him posing about a credible threat to Charlie Kirk's life 2 weeks before he was shot. So a little bit more on that. This is why we are investigating Charlie's assassination, because our government is not. So again, everybody's, you know, making a big stink about this. So I just say, hey, here's an update. This morning, they reached out to me and I put them in contact with my source. I didn't expose my source. I never told the government who my source was. They told me, have your source call us. I gave my source the phone number and said, they want you to call. Call if you want. I'm a bad guy. This is all part of a sophisticated operation, I guess. I don't know, dude. I get calls. Hey, this is whoever. Heard you have a source. Would the source reach out to me? Yeah, maybe he will. I don't know. I'll contact him. Thanks for reaching out. Bye. Hey, the FBI wants to talk to you. Here's the number. Okay, maybe I'll call later. Bye. Okay, that's how it happened. I don't know. That's how it worked. That's how it went down. And then it's just like, I can't believe Harrison would give up his source like that. The government demanded and he folded like a cheap bag. It's like, I didn't give up the source. I didn't give up any source. So what did I do wrong? What have I done wrong here? What have I done wrong? I've pointed out that this whole thing is weird. This whole Candace Owens saga is unlike any other conspiracy theory I've ever investigated. And I've been here behind the scenes and in front of the scenes for the biggest conspiracy theories in the history of the world. The biggest conspiracies, the Vegas shooting, COVID-19, the lockdown, like, there has never been a situation like this where so many people are so desperate to prove that, like, we're in on it, that, like, everybody except for them is part of the cover-up, and if you don't agree with them completely, you must be a paid agent of the enemy. It's like there are aspects of that in every conspiracy, but it's never been like this. This is so weird. It's so bizarre. And then you say that, and it's like, well, that's just proof that you're the one doing it. And it's like, no, it's just weird. This whole thing is totally bizarre. And I'm not here to be questioned by random anonymous accounts on X. Like, I don't owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. I haven't done anything. I don't owe an explanation. You're not my boss. You're not the president of the United States. So it's like, I just go out of my way to be like, hey, these people want to know about the source. I'll let them know. Hey, guys, you're so concerned. Good news. The source is now in contact with the authorities. Isn't that what you wanted? And they're just like, how dare you? How dare you try to trick us like this? And I'm just like, and they're just like, well, what agency? What agency was it then, Harrison? And it's just like, screw you. How about that? How about the agency is your mom? How about that's the answer? Who are you to question me? Why are you questioning me? Why do you think I owe you an answer? It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know. Am I the one? Am I being a jerk? I'm telling you everything you want to know, and I'm being questioned about it. And every question I answer gets completely misinterpreted, turned completely inside out. Anyway, it's all completely retarded. So there's that. So there that is. We'll go to this video. This is me talking in the space. And this is a video that I know Alex wanted me to play in full. So we'll play all eight minutes here. But yeah, that's what's unfolded. That's what's unfolded since then. All right, maybe we'll hang on to the. I've rambled too long, so we'll go to that video in just a little bit. But I do understand we have Patrick Byrne on the line here. And I know, Patrick, you have been eager to get some information on the airwaves. Patrick Byrne, of course, can be followed on X at Patrick Byrne. And you can find his docuseries at enemywithindocuseries.com. Patrick Byrne, entrepreneur, libertarian, champion of America First policies. He recently appeared in the Enemy Within docuseries, which is streaming on Rumble and Amazon Prime. And again, can be found at enemywithindocuseries.com. Patrick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Harrison, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you, sir. I'm excited to hear the bombshell you have to drop on us here, because I know you're eager to make this known. What do you have for us?
Well, I have two things. One of them is just an appetizer, and one of them is the order, the entree. Okay.
Okay.
The appetizer is just a little bit of humor. It's been pointed out to me the humor in this. In October, the Department of Justice indicted the corporation of Smartmatic.
Right.
Now, when a DOJ indicts a corporate, but in November, the EAC recertified their brand, their whole line of election equipment. And I guess, does that seem odd? Oh, somebody's pointed out to me that I should make that. You know, when the DOJ indicts a corporation, it's not like indicting an employee of this, an employee of that. They're saying this corporation is a criminal enterprise. So in October, the DOJ is saying it's a criminal enterprise, and the Election Assistance Corporation, it's as if they certified the equipment of the Genovese family or the Gambino right. family. Does it make any sense to you?
It's the corporation is corrupt and has been indicted, but they're also in charge of our elections still. Yeah, yeah. That doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's where the DOJ is saying this is a criminal organization, and yet the next month our EAC, that's the epitome. That's in a 22-year history of setting regulatory capture, I have to say that's the funniest I've ever heard. Okay, you ready to move on to the entree?
Yeah, I don't know if funny is the right way to put it. But that's something. You know, it is, and from a certain angle, that is funny, but good Lord. Okay, all right, that's the appetizer. Give us the main course now.
I'm going to explain what's really been delaying things about kicking off this show in Venezuela.
Okay.
You ready? And it's more deep state mischief. It's in the interest of the Venezuelan cartel, which is to say the Venezuelan government, that the war be delayed as long as possible. This could have been kicked off about 45 days ago, but it's been just this operation boa constrictor, tightening and tightening, which is, they got their logic, which I'll be getting to. But their goal is to delay this another 30, 60 days. If we really get into election season, Trump can't kick this off. His hands are tied. And then after that, so it's in the interest of the Venezuelan regime to delay this into, you know, February at least, maybe even March. Guess who's been helping them?
Oh, wait, I think you told me last time, didn't you?
This is new.
Oh, it's a new guy.
New information.
Okay, who's this?
It's not a new guy. This is the intelligence community, the CIA. The CIA has been telling Trump that if you just put a stranglehold, blockade, it's the intelligence community is telling Trump that if you just put a blockade on Venezuela, they're going to fall in 20 to 30 days. Well, those of us who are familiar with the Venezuelan regime think that is the funniest joke of 2025. They have stolen our real, we actually have a really good measure now, and it looks like they stole $2.7 trillion in the last 25 years. They have it in banks. They have it all over the world. They can survive for months, maybe years, under financial blockade. There's no country better prepared on earth to survive financial blockade than Venezuela. So the people telling Trump that, oh, if you just blockade them and delay this, oh, in 20, 30 days, they're going to run out of, you know, everything, and they'll surrender. They're tricking Trump to play into the hands. That's exactly what the regime wants, because the truth is they can easily last through this year. They got $2.7 trillion, this criminal enterprise has to, and if they can just get Trump to buy that and to buy that he can kick this out into February or so, it's the absolute worst. Then it becomes impossible for him to launch. But it's the intelligence community, and they are playing the hand of the top of our intelligence community, the top of our CIA, the top two floors are captured by China. I think there are clear, well, I shouldn't say everybody there, but at some point I've got to reveal something that really, I hate to dig up ancient history, but that really reveals a Chinese connection into the top of the CIA. Anyway, Sleeping Dogs Lie. But so in any case, the thing that has been slowing down Trump on Venezuela, while the military has been saying, well, I shouldn't comment, but the military has been ready to go for quite some time, is the intelligence community is telling Trump, sit on your hands. Don't worry. If you just blockade them, this will take care of himself. It's a they're setting him up. It's a flat lie, and they're getting him the more they if they can get him to buy that for another 30 days, then the arguments start going to be whispered in his ear. Oh, listen, it's election season. What is it going to do to you in the polls if you start this now? So they're playing, they're making Trump play right into the hand of the cartel.
So last time you were here, I think you dropped a pretty big bombshell. And unless I'm wrong, I think it was Rick Grenell that had traveled down to meet with Maduro. And that was sort of an exclusive that you dropped on us here. Is it the same characters causing this delay, do you think?
No, I'm not asserting that. Well, in general, there have been people who have been at most asserting the delay. Well, first, there's been a group of people trying to convince Trump there's a way to solve this without war. Yeah, they did this. Yeah, they were actually, they're still denying that they rigged the election in 2020. Todd Blanche, at least until a week or two ago, was still telling people there's no evidence that the 2020 election was, that there was enough fraud that was outcome determinative, which is some, you know, a lot of syllables that sound like it's official. These guys are schmucks. It's silly. At that point, that's kind of not even something I'm going to bother answering. Would you agree that that's, I mean, you've paid attention to this issue, Harrison,
well,
right?
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
This is the way, I mean, you've hit it on the head. The way that they've covered up the election theft from 2020 from the beginning is that exact rhetorical trick. They say there is no verifiable claims of widespread election fraud that would determine the outcome of the election. So what they're saying is this wasn't everywhere. There wasn't fraud in every state and every city, but that was never our claim. Our claim was that there were about five major metropolitan areas that if you could capture those, you could swing the entire election. And that's where all the malfeasance and all the curious, you know, goings on happened on election night. And so that's exactly what they always say is, well, there wasn't widespread to the point that it would affect the outcome. But we know that's not true.
At the risk of offending my Muslim friends who are watching, Muslims have a way of doing that, too. When you point out the atrocities that they commit, they go from saying that's not happening to saying, well, I'm not aware of it's happening, to saying, well, it may be happening, but it's not, there's not much of it, to saying, well, yeah, it is happening, but it's supposed to happen because
the wheel of conspiracy, yeah, ever turns.
So similarly, we've moved along that ladder here where they're saying, well, it didn't happen at all. There's no evidence of it happening. They're saying, well, maybe it happened a little, but it's, you know, it wasn't outcome determinative.
Right.
Okay. It's silly. It's silly at this point. So, I mean, if they really, these are the same schmucks who think they can redesign what the new world should look like. The same people, if they're real, I think they're gaslighting us and they're lying to us. They can see it. But even if we take them at their word and they can't see it, I'd say those are the same schmucks who want to redesign the world. Anyway, you see, but this is, I've gotten some, this isn't, when I bring something like this to you, it's not a guess. I'm telling you, the intelligence community is trying to undermine Trump again by getting him to play into this Venezuelan lie.
See, that's
this Venezuelan thing that, oh, if we just cut them off 20 or 30 days, they'll be done. The truth is they got trillions abroad. They're totally fine. That will get them into the election day and into the election season. Once Trump's there, his hands are tied. That's what's going on.
I have two questions, because it always seemed to me like Trump, you know, we know Trump doesn't like war. One of the things he always brings up is he is the first president in a century to not start a war. So I've always interpreted it as like he wants to go as far as he can with Venezuela, but I've always felt like he didn't really want to start the war. But that's kind of what you're telling me is kind of contradictory to that. You're saying he wants to start the war, but the intelligence agencies are kind of delaying him.
Well, the intelligence, look, I'm against war, too. I'm a Milton Friedman guy. There's been no more necessary war since the revolution than this war. Well, I'd say it's neck and neck with the Civil War. This is national resistance. These people overthrew our country, and they're still at it. So this is the most important war. This is World War III. All you Gen Zers who gripe, we never got our chance. We hear about the greatest generation, but we never got our chance. This is your chance. You're in World War III. You just,
careful what you wish for, I guess. So the latest out of Venezuela is that Trump hit a drug distribution center. This to me seems like a pretty big escalation. It seems like we've gone from gunboat diplomacy to, is this an escalation that's meaningful?
Actually, he hit two things. He hit something that was a port facility for the drug boats. In addition, he hit a chemical storage place. That was the storage where they were storing the precursors for the drugs. That's where Venezuela, one of the roles it plays. These schmucks who say, oh, Venezuela is only responsible for this percent or that percent of the fentanyl. They don't understand. First of all, there's much higher percent of the precursors. Secondly, that's not the issue. The issue is they're the headquarters of the cartel system. So, yeah, the U.S. hit a place where the drug boats were loading, and they hit a place where the chemicals are stored. But Trump is being cautioned, don't go farther. We're going to make it tight. Do it this way. In another couple of weeks, they're going to be strangled. It's a lie. They got crypto. They got cash. They're fine. The people can't do anything. I've been to Venezuela in 2018. Their military is completely organized for suppression. More than three people get together on a sidewalk. You are now there's female National Guard members all over. They have this perfected. They're going to be able to really fight a long time. So Trump is being misled by the intelligence community, who are telling him, oh, don't go in, hotheads. We can do this. You know, the regime is going to survive a lot longer than the Venezuelan population.
So if they're trying to set up Trump to lose, it sounds like they are trying to set up Trump to lose, and they think that if Trump starts a war with Iran, the sooner the better for Trump, and they're trying to delay it to give him the worst possible chance.
That's correct. Yeah. In fact, I'll just tell you something shameful. The head of military intelligence of Venezuela is sitting in a prison, willing to cooperate. Let him out. He can tell so much about what the plan is. Should the U.S. do this, that?
Is he in prison here in America?
Yeah, he's sitting in New York. His name is Hugo Carvalho. The CIA is blocking that from happening. The DOD, it could save American lives if they could interview him. The DOD, the CIA will not let that happen. And they kept the DOJ from letting it happen. He got this proffer out anyway. It's costing American lives. He's willing to help the United States forces avoid casualties, as you say, and they cannot meet with him because of the CIA.
Well, that's been the story of this whole Trump administration, is this shadow war between obviously the deep state and the Trump administration. So very exciting element of this. So what do you think is next? We only have about 30 seconds left. What do you think is the next step for Venezuela? What should be the next step?
Oh, well, Trump's next step is like that thing you see on the wall sometime, the glass case, in case of emergency, break glass. In case of war, break glass. I'm the guy who came up with that meme. I said that maybe on your show about Flynn. Make Flynn your national security advisor. You can go golfing. This is over. This is a 30-day problem for
Mike
Flynn.
Just like everything else with Trump. Get the right people around you, and we can solve these issues. Man, he is surrounded.
This is a 30-day problem for Mike Flynn.
Right.
Domestic and abroad.
He just needs the right people around him. Patrick Byrne, thank you so much for being here with us. Follow him at Patrick Byrne.
Let me tell you about this. Our sponsor, Bigly, and the products they have at theelectionstore.com are whatever the highest source, best quality, highest rated products are, we go out and private label them, and in some cases, soup them up and make them even better. So we did a year ago a survey, what do listeners want? And you wanted methylene blue, you wanted beef tallow that Kennedy talks about, which I know is great for cooking and is so much better for you than seed oils, and you wanted high-quality Shilajit. We brought you all the best. They've sourced the best. This is so heavy. This is so huge. Tiny little scoop of this with whatever you're cooking makes it taste so great, whether it's potatoes, whether it's eggs, whatever you're cooking. Beef tallow is so delicious. This is concentrated beef tallow, private label from the top ones in the country. No preservatives, no artificial ingredients, gluten-free, packed with nutrients, unlike seed oils, which are fake toxic garbage. Beef tallow Costello is real food that promotes whole body health. Get 25% off now when you become a subscriber today and then lock in a bigger discount. You can cancel anytime for free at alexjonesstore.com. Beef tallow has been all the rage. It's what the listeners asked for. We've got the best for you right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And separately, creatine of the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligram gummies, huge container of them. Look into neurological studies, Alzheimer's, you name it. It's so good for young people, old people. Everybody needs it. Got it, 2 flavors, thealexjonesstore.com. And it's your funding this operation that makes it all possible. I need your support. I am funded by you. I am supported by you. And I'm battling the Democrat Party law firms that have been trying to shut us down, and we've been winning thanks to your support. But it takes money to fight this war. So don't wait. Get our creatine gummies. Get the new incredible beef tallow. Just as amazing or more is the bovine colostrum. The first 2 weeks from cow's milk is the ultimate combo of super nutrients. You name it, for your immune system, your clarity, your focus, your hair, your skin, your nails. It's crazy. These are the best products. These are amazing. They will change your life. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And if you're going to buy anything there, become a VIP. $30 a month. Cancel anytime for free. The minute you become a VIP in your profile, you get $40 to spend instantly, making $10. Special deals, special offers, special sales on everything. So if you're buying anything at TheAlexJonesStore.com, become a VIP. Cancel anytime. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thank you for standing with us. We'll never back down, never give in, but we couldn't give out without your support. So you are the reason we're still here, and I thank you and salute you for it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate Sea Moss or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Turbo Force, filled with incredible ingredients, ladies and gentlemen. Ultimate Power ignites mental clarity and focus, clean, sustained energy, enhanced blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. Ultimate Power at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You're listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
The saga continues, folks. This is amazing. I can actually bring you up to the minute, up to the second updates about how the PSYOP is going, about how everything I say gets completely, deliberately misinterpreted for some reason. I don't know. Again, What have I done? What have I done to make people treat me like this? I genuinely want to know. So again, I respond to Diligent Citizen, who's saying that I'm suspicious because I never will say who my source is. By the way, I mean, this whole thing is strange because this is exactly how it goes. I'm talking to somebody at Ron Paul's birthday. We're talking about Zionism. I bring up Charlie Kirk. I say, I think Charlie Kirk is turning away from Zionism, but I think he's scared because I think he's going to lose all of his donors if he does that. I think he's in a tough spot. I think he's losing credibility because he won't denounce Israel, because he won't speak out about the atrocities they're committing. But I think he's between a rock and a hard place, because if he comes out about Israel, he loses his funding. So I feel like he's in a tough spot. And the person I'm talking to says, oh, well, he thinks Israel's going to kill him. I said, what? Oh, yeah. He says he thinks if he turns away from Israel, that Israel's going to kill him. And I said, oh, that's kind of crazy. But this is a private conversation between two people. Now I thought, this could potentially be newsworthy. This is something maybe people should know. Also, it's, you know, just self-congratulations because I had just done the day before a video where I was taking Charlie's public appearances and reading into him and going, I think I see what's going on here. I think he's scared. Only to have that confirmed from a source who knows. So then I tweeted out. And to be honest, I probably shouldn't have tweeted out. I didn't have permission to tweet it out. I was just in a private conversation with somebody that I later, you know, tweeted about. But I didn't ask them. I didn't say, hey, do you mind if I tweet out that you told me that? Because I didn't know it was going to be a freaking, you know, prediction. I didn't know that a month later, Charlie Kirk would be killed and that tweet would suddenly become incredibly important. So, you know, I just sort of fired off going, hey, people might want to know this. And then later it comes up on Moonbase Live. When we're talking to Jake Shields and my co-host, John, and we're talking about Charlie Kirk. He's like, oh, you should tell him about what you heard about Charlie Kirk. So I'm like, all right, yeah, I reiterate that. But then it become, then Charlie Kirk actually gets murdered and becomes this like giant scandal. And Netanyahu is up there being asked to disavow and asked to, you know, claim he's innocent about the murder. And I reached out to my source and was like, I don't know, people are asking me, should I? And he's like, I don't want to be involved. I don't want to be a part of an international murder conspiracy. It's got like the number one news story in the world. So he didn't want to be mentioned. So it's like, how, what would be such a dirtbag to like be publishing this guy's conversation without his permission and then like publishing his name because random strangers are asking me to? Like that, I'm just not ever going to do that. So it's, again, what have I done wrong? What did I misbehave here? Should I have betrayed his confidence? Anyway, so today when he calls me, so this is another aspect to it. As I laid out before, I get a call from this government agent. Hey, if your source wants to talk to us, tell him to reach out. I call my source. Hey, this government agent just reached out to me. If you want to reach out to him, you know, maybe you can provide him something. And I'm talking to him and I'm saying that, you know, this is Candace thing. And he goes, well, you know, I told George Farmer that I was your source. George Farmer is Candace's husband. He's like, yeah, months ago, I told him I was the source of that. Then I'm like, oh, that's funny. So Candace knows. Now, apparently George Farmer had not told her. That's on me. I did assume that if George Farmer knew something, Candace Owens would know it too, since she's the one that asked like about my source. So I assume she's interested. She would have been told this from George Farmer. So did I comment that? So under this diligent denizen post where he, you know, talks about me not reporting it to the FBI, I say, well, do you want to hear something really funny? When I talked to my source today, he revealed that he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. So Candace has known who my source is this whole time. Is that not accurate? I mean, that's what he told me. So I'm putting it forward, right? Because if everybody's good demonizing me about not revealing my source, well, Candace knows who my source is, so demonize her. It's not me. So then Candace says, I literally have no idea what you're talking about. Is the implication here that I'm lying? Because I'll gladly ask George and publish the source's name. Update, George also has no idea what the hell you're talking about. Obviously is we had received some news that Charlie thought he was going to be killed while he was alive. We would have contacted Charlie immediately to see what was up. Okay, I never claimed that they knew this before he was alive. Then she comes back again. Double update. Your source just texted George and said he was your source. We just learned that today. For clarity, George received a text message from him, from my source, 7 days after Charlie was killed. You were not mentioned in that communication. And obviously, we had already broken the story that Charlie was warring with the pro-Israel lobby by then. You framed this tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination, and as if we had any idea it was related to your pre-assassination tweet. Like, what? What does she mean? You framed this tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination. Like, where is she getting this? I didn't say that. I said he revealed he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. And that's what he said. Now, apparently, he texted George Farmer 7 days after the murder. That would be months ago, right? So he texted him months ago, saying he was the source. I guess he didn't mention me, but my source said he did, right? He said you know, George Farmer, I told George Farmer I was your source. So that's what I said. So again, it's like, okay, when I talked to my source today, he revealed that he told George Farmer that he was my source months ago. Okay, Candace confirms that. 7 days after the assassination, she, my source texted her husband and told him about that. Apparently I wasn't mentioned, but you know, my source, said it was, but whatever. So again, it just, it's like, okay, so what I said is true, right? Everything I said is true. I guess I just assumed that George Farmer would tell his wife, but I get that was an assumption on my part. I admit. So maybe Candace didn't know because George didn't tell her. I don't know why he wouldn't, but if she was so interested, she could have asked, you know, at any point. But this is what I'm talking about. So I say the truth, right? My source tells me, hey, you know, I told George Farmer I was your source months ago. Oh, that's interesting. I typed that up. When I talked to my source today, he revealed to me that he told George Farmer he was my source months ago. Candace somehow transmogrifies that into me claiming that she had foreknowledge of the assassination, and I'm therefore claiming she's a liar because my tweet was framed in a way. You framed your tweet in a way to make it seem as though you were informed, as though we were informed before Charlie's assassination, and as if we had any idea it was related to your pre-assassination tweet. No, I didn't. I did not frame a tweet in any way. I just said what happened, and you now acknowledge that is what happened. So how did I frame it in a way to make it seem like you knew about this beforehand? Like, this is what I mean. You're watching this live. This literally happened during the commercial break. Just now. Am I the crazy one? Why am I being accused of accusing Candace of knowing about Charlie's, you know, threat before he was murdered? I never said that. This is like, this is the thing. People are like, wow, you're getting really emotional. It's not like I'm not like mad at it. It's just frustrating. It's just like, what can I do? I say, hey, my source told George Farmer he was my source months ago. Candace Owens comes back. What the hell are you talking about? I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, sure. The source did tweet my husband. It was months ago. Okay, so I did know. But actually, you're saying that it was before the assassination and we would have called Charlie to check on him. And it's like, so this is the thing. I'm not like, it's like, oh, you're getting emotional as if it's like, oh, my house of cards is falling down. No, I'm just like, what is the point of me trying to communicate with you people when you just hear things I don't say? When you are hallucinating like a badly programmed AI, you're just hearing things that I don't say and then attacking me on that. I didn't accuse Candace Owens of anything. I said she knows who my source is, or at least her husband does. And he did, because that's what my source said. I'm like, point out to me anywhere in this situation that I've lied, that I've accused Candace Owens of, like, covering anything up, that I've accused Candace Owens of knowing about the murder before it happened and failing to do anything. But I'm the bad guy. I'm telling you, you're seeing it in real time, folks. You're seeing it in real time. All I say is that my source texted George Farmer months ago to tell him that he was my source. Candace Owens somehow hallucinates that that is me framing the tweet in a way to make it seem as though we were informed caps lock before Charlie's assassination. Am I the crazy one, or is that a hallucination? Can somebody explain to me how she perceived that accusation from my tweet? Yeah, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating. Oh my God. But that's the thing. It's like, it's a lose-lose situation. That's what Candace Owens is good at setting up. Lose-lose situations. If you don't respond, whoa, you're guilty, right? If I don't go on the space last night, oh, you're scared to go on the space. Whoa, you know, you'd get defeated. You say, so, okay, all right, fine, I'll go on the space. But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter, because no matter what I say on the space, no matter how truthful I'm being, no matter how upfront, forthright, perfectly clear I'm being, people just hallucinate things I don't say and then attack me over it. What have I done? What am I getting wrong here? I really want to know. You know that you have examples of people covering things up. Like, you know what it looks like when the Ben Shapiros and the Mark Levins are all trying to scheme and say things like, is that what I look like? Do I look like that to you? Do I look like somebody who's part of a coordinated effort? Do I look like somebody who's being told what to say? I mean, I'm responding to things that are appearing this instant. Nobody is telling me to say this. You know, the first week I did War Room, about 3 months ago, I asked the crew, because on American Journal, we used to do it more where like the crew would say things and it'd be on air. And so I asked the crew, hey, can you make it to where your guys' microphone's back there where they talk to me in this little earpiece? I said, will you make it so that audio goes through so everybody can hear it? And so they started working on it and they messed up. And so for the first week, the entire first week that we were doing War Room, you can still go back. We didn't change it. You can still go back and watch the episodes from the first week that I was doing War Room after Owen quit. And the mics are open the entire time. So you can hear the crew when there's a video playing. You can hear them in my ear going, 10 seconds left, 5 seconds left, right? When I'm in a monologue, you can hear the crew go in my ear and go, hey, Trump's live. Do you want to take it? And that's it. For a week, we left this earpiece open. You can hear everything that's said to me. Nothing is said to me. Nobody is telling me what to say. I have no teleprompter. I have nobody saying anything in my ear. I have nobody directing me. So it's a little frustrating constantly being told I'm part of some operation and that any attempt to say that I'm not is somehow proof that I am. It's annoying. It's very annoying. But all I can say is I'm glad the InfoWars audience knows how to judge things, I would hope. Anyway, we'll go to this video now. We'll go to the clip of the live stream yesterday or the Twitter space yesterday. We'll go to this full, however long, 8 minute long one. Yeah, fixed the Candace X space here. Yes, 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Thank you, crew. Let's go to this video. We'll watch me question Candace Owens about the claims she's making about Fort Huachuca, which are inconsistent, ever-changing, and pointless in the extreme. Let's watch.
It's good to hear from people who disagree with us. So, Harrison, if you want to unmute yourself and jump in, that would be great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I guess my whole thing is, why does this meeting even matter? Like, what is the actual claim that's being made here? That's been my confusion the whole point, the whole time, is like, okay, let's say that there's absolute proof, you know, photographic evidence that everything that Snow says is true. Like, who cares? I mean, what does that prove? What is the actual accusation? Who do you think was conspiring with who to do what?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously the name of the episode was, you know, the day before Charlie Kirk was murdered. The insinuation is that this was a assassination planning meeting,
yeah.
Which I don't even see any evidence of that. And then people I'm arguing with online are saying, no, this has nothing to do with the assassination.
Yeah.
So, I guess, if the space is why this matters, why does Fort Huachuca even matter? Like, what is the claim being made? I still don't even understand that.
So it matters because why would Brian Harpole be on Fort Huachuca at all, right? It matters because he's giving an alibi, which means he doesn't want to be associated. Like, it could have easily not mattered, kind of, to speak to your credit. He could have been like, yeah, I was at Fort Huachuca with my brother, my brother's in the military. I was dropping off some food. Okay. Like, that could have been then suddenly a dead end. That would have been nothing. Now, because Mitch had described this as a top secret meeting in an off-site building and had described this as top brass at the Pentagon and said that these sorts of meetings, and I am forgetting the military term, are when you're just about to embark on like a mission. I know I'm really uneducated, but military guys will sound better saying that. It was compelling. Like, okay, like I said, Brian Harpole was acting funny. He's been acting weird. He's been telling verifiable lies, and he cared enough to present an alibi, meaning he didn't want people to think he was there. Right. So if you have to, give someone an alibi, it's because you don't want people to think that you're there. An alibi is not needed if there's nothing to hide. That's why it matters. I think that's why it matters. And the reaction, rather than being forthcoming, is why it suddenly feels like, okay, this is important, because no one's acting normal. No one's just like, oh yeah, cool, he was there. Like, it also is, as we have now learned, it's an intel base. He was telling the truth about exactly what building it was. I didn't name the building on my show because I wasn't sure if that would be like a national security problem, but it just happened to be that JTF was borrowing that offsite building, and it was supposed to be a top secret meeting for those purposes. Somebody that was involved in blacking out the windows had sent us a tip. Again, it's how people are reacting to the meeting that lets us know that it's important.
Okay. I mean, I guess.
Regarding the hotel, I never said it was important. Like I said, my perspective was there's 1,000 different reasons that she could have been at that base. Her mother has a contract or has a contract with the DOD. Erica has been open about her mother's ties to the military in the past. She actually did an interview and said that she moved to Arizona because her mother had a contract with the military. So again, weird thing is when Andrew's like, Erica wasn't in some fort, as if he's never heard of Fort Huachuca. His brother is in the military. His brother is a Captain Curtis Colvett. His first cousin is Captain Robert Colvett. So that kind of a language is why I've named this, why it suddenly really matters, right? It was sort of one episode. I didn't exactly dedicate a whole series to it. The reaction has been so almost like violently obsessed that the public is now going, oh, okay, well, it feels like there's something here. I think that's just sort of our natural instinct.
Okay. I mean, I think if you're saying that somebody is somewhere and they weren't there, then providing the alibi is not in and of itself suspicious. If the alibi is not confirmed, I guess you can be suspicious of that. But again, there's still not an answer. Like, okay, let's just say you're right. Let's just say that absolutely they were there.
Yeah.
What does that prove? What is the accusation? Because what it sounds like, and I mean, what the insinuation obviously is that this was a planning meeting for the assassination, and the people there had pre-knowledge of the assassination and they were therefore in on it. So I think that if you are making that accusation, which in effect you are, right, you're in effect saying, okay, Erica Kirk and, you know, the head of TPUSA security were at this pre-assassination planning meeting.
Erica was there. So you guys have to stop repeating that. It's Erica was never at that meeting. And that's another thing. I've never said Erica was at the meeting. Mitch has never said Erica was at that meeting. There was never an indication she was at that meeting. He did not see her on September 9th. It was Brian Harpole who was at that meeting. To my knowledge, Brian Harpole, I don't know why he would be at an intel base at a meeting with top brass. And what I can tell you is if he was there, Turning Point doesn't know he was there. According to Erica and Justin Strife, who I sat down for 4.5 hours. So if Turning Point has him on their payroll, and they've outright purchased a security firm and they don't know what he's doing on an intel base, yeah, it matters. And we don't need to know the conclusion to follow the clues here that something's wrong. So that there's this fashionable thing where people are always like, well, what's the final thing you're saying? We don't know the final thing that we're saying because that's not how an investigation works.
Well, you
have to follow the thing that's the lie. We have to follow, okay, you know, this guy said he was here, he wasn't. What does that mean? I don't know what it means yet. I don't know what it means yet. What I'm saying is the reaction to this is not normal. Brian Harpole shouldn't be on an intel base if Turning Point doesn't know about it. And he's presented an alibi that doesn't actually cover where he was, but he felt it necessary to give an alibi. So, I don't know, interesting. And I think we have a right to think. So, if that's cool, I'm just going to let somebody else jump in right here. Is that okay, Harrison, or do you want to just have a final thought there?
Sure. Okay. So Erica Kirk was not there. You don't believe that Erica Kirk was there at all.
She wasn't there on the 9th. She was not seen on the 9th. It's not about whether I believe she was there. She wasn't seen on the 9th. That was never said. He never said it. I never said it.
Okay. But yeah. She was seen on the 8th.
Yes. At the intel meeting, not in the intel, headquarters or whatever building they were using. She was not seen with the top brass, nothing like that.
So the pre-assassination planning meeting happened on the morning of the 9th. She was seen in the area on the afternoon of the 8th, but those were unrelated. She just happened to be there.
They're related because of the person she was with. who he believes looks like Cabot Phillips. He did see that person at the meeting on the 9th.
Okay. So, so you are saying that basically these people were there to conspire to kill Charlie Kirk, right?
I mean, you can keep saying what you're saying, or you can listen to what I'm saying. But if you want to just say what you're saying, just say it and don't put it behind you're saying. Just say, hey, I'm Harrison and I'm saying, right? That's easier, I think.
Hi, I'm Harrison. What I'm saying is that nobody is that in 2 months, nobody is going to remember the name Mitch Snow or Fort Huachuca, and this is not going to go anywhere, and that this is a nothing burger. I just think it's an absolute nothing burger that's not going to lead anywhere. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You can prove me wrong. But again, my whole thing has always been that this devolves into this question of like, was he there? Was he not there? And the whole time I'm just going, what does it matter? If the conclusion is that he's a complete liar, it's the exact same outcome as proving that these people were actually there, because so far you haven't connected it to the assassination in any way whatsoever, except that maybe this guy thinks that he saw people that are around Charlie Kirk. And my whole point is, obviously, the insinuation is, I mean, again, when you're saying Erica Kirk was there, but not actually there on the day, but in the area, but not because of the assassination meeting. But it's like, okay, clearly the insinuation is that these people had something to do with the assassination. And you can make that claim or not, or pretend that you are, but or pretend that you're not, but you obviously are. But it, like, that's all. I don't really care about any of that.
Thanks,
but you have
to.
Thank
you. Let's give somebody. I think you know, just when you say something clearly and obviously and clearly doesn't make it clear or obvious. I'm following this investigation. Charlie was assassinated. I'm going to take every step, and I'm going to say what I know at the exact time that I know it. So I cannot say that it was definitively an assassination meeting. I can say that I have a feeling about this meeting that if it is, in fact, Brian Harpole there and he's lying about that, then that's not good. It's not a good thing, because there's no reason to lie unless you have something to hide. But thank you so much for your feedback. I appreciate that and hope to speak in.
All right, folks. So, you know, I don't know how other people do things. I don't know how other places do things. At InfoWars, we're very straightforward. And we've had the same modus operandi the entire time I've been here. We bring you the truth. We tell you what we believe about it. We try to connect it to the higher operations being carried out, connect the dots in order to give you a full picture of the New World Order, their various operations, and their satanic intentions. And if you think that we're being accurate, if you are following along and find this information valuable, then you'll go to thealexjonesstore.com. You'll purchase a product. It'll improve your life. It'll cost you next to nothing. And you'll keep us on the air and in the fight, continuing to try to follow the truth wherever it leads and be as open and upfront and honest about everything as we possibly can. If you're in favor of that, go to thealexjonesstore.com. Improve your own life, support us, and win.
I didn't plug last hour, because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here, because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, fruit punch and in Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power and propulsion? But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustained energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine. Relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6, and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I've never popped it on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product, or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong. Tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the fruit punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesstore.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number 4 straight ahead.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.